Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 449. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined today by Patrick in Japan. Japanese Patrick. What's going on?
Hey, it's almost the last time Japanese Patrick is going to be here, right?
Yeah,
it's,
you 2 weeks. 2 weeks, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Until you get back.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Sorry. And next week...
You can't say 2 weeks without that happening.
No, it's impossible. That movie is permanently burned into our heads. Three boobs and all that. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, you're coming back. You're back the weekend that we're doing our Warcraft viewing here in Salt Lake City, which is going to be interesting. And we were just talking pre-show. We may as well talk about this for a little bit here. Dills, who's also here, by the way, Texas. Hello, Dills. Represent.
Hello.
Hey, Dills.
Hi.
You were saying something at the top of the show about how you've successfully avoided any kind of conversation or spoilers or anything around the movie, which we'll still try to achieve that today outside of some numbers things and a few other things. But how have you been able to do that given how tightly concentrated our communities tend to be and how they like to tell each other about all kinds of stuff all the time? How have you avoided it?
I think people are being a little bit considerate as well. And a lot of people haven't seen it because it's not out in the US, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I'm also guessing there isn't a lot of spoilerish stuff in the movie. I mean, we know what's going to happen, right? If we know the story of the game. But in general, it's more about not reading the reviews. And we're going to talk about the reviews in a little bit, but I just maybe read the headline and maybe half a tweet, but I just go away from it when I, you know, realize it's about that.
I'm not even watching the no spoilers videos, like the people who do like a review.
Yeah, same.
You know, a lot of people do this no spoilers and then a spoiler review.
Yeah.
So you can watch it, you know, one before you've actually seen the movie. I'm not even watching those. I just don't want, I want a fresh experience when I go. And I'm actually going to a pre-screening in Dallas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Ooh. Somebody who has a WoW meetup group, which... How the hell did I not know that was a thing you could do? They have like a WoW meetup group and they got invited to go to a pre-screening and he hit me up and said he's a fan of the shows and wanted to see if I could make it. So I was like, hell yeah, let's do this.
That's
thing.
Great. When do you get to see it? How early?
It's going to be Tuesday.
Oh,
so
that's great.
2 days before, I guess it's officially released.
That's pretty good. Probably your own relatively exclusive screening. Only invites are going out for that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's like an invite thing where you give them your name and it reserves you a spot. And then, but I guess they have like a 35 plus group of guys or something like that who get together. And I don't know what they do. I don't know them personally, but I'm excited to find out. Excited to hang out with them too.
Yeah,
so.
I wonder what that's going to be cool. Like. You're going to have to report back on the WoW meetup.
I will. Well,
scene.
I'll have my camera. We'll vlog it. We'll do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're 11 years into this. 11 years into this game. I just wonder what a WoW meetup group looks like at this point.
I know, right?
Yeah. I think
when
it's,
I worked
it's
at Apple, they had like a WoW email group. Like people who play these types of games love to just get together. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, how weird.
In a massively multiplayer online game. People like to meet up.
You know, I guess I've told that story a while ago, but it's a good chance to tell it again. So there you go. I remember I was at my cousin's wedding years ago, maybe, I don't know. It must have been when the game had just come out. It was eight or nine years ago. And we were hanging out with people as you do at weddings and you start talking and there's always some people with whom it's like this awkward conversation where you're not sure what to talk about and what you have in common. And at some point, I can't remember what it was. It was a group of like five or six people and someone mentioned WoW. Mm. And, you know, they said something about like, I tried the Warlock and it was cool or blah, blah, blah. And then you could see in that group, everyone's eyes lit up. And it was like, oh my God, you're playing WoW? And it was like for an hour, everyone talking about that for you know, nonstop about the dungeons and the classes and the talents and the, it was awesome. It was absolutely amazing. So I'm guessing, you know, by now it's just people hanging out. Just WoW is just an excuse for them who are friends. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't talk about WoW all that much. But
well, sure. But I mean, like, even now, who are we playing Heroes and Overwatch and other Blizzard games with? We're playing with old guildmates, and you know, people have been playing this game, playing Warcraft forever. And those have branched out the way Blizzard has branched out. We haven't really left the tent. We're all still in there. We may be playing different things under the Blizzard banner, but we're not really going anywhere. So from a community standpoint, it's starting to feel like no matter what WoW does as a game, up or down, sideways or left or right, it doesn't really matter. Those relationships seem to be sticking around regardless. And the excitement around it stays, even if you're not constantly in the World of Warcraft. You're still excited to talk about it or to share experiences or talk about memories, or, you know, like Patrick was saying, everybody gets in the room and suddenly everyone finds out that they're all fans, and then you lose your shit for an hour, which is great.
Like, as much as we don't really play WoW, you know, in the same way we used to, it still is affecting like all of our gaming at this point.
No, you know? No way around it.
Put me in a room with WoW gamers, and you know, we have something to talk about for the evening.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere if you do that. All right, well, we got more about the movie coming up in the news, among other things. Let's hit it. All right, so there's a rumor floating around that is unconfirmed. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but we may get to see a bunch of changes to the new patch in the PTR upcoming. Those include everything from a whole bunch of fixes and some additional tweaks that people may or may not notice in terms of polish, but also possibly intro music, an actual intro screen, so we'll know what that's supposed to ultimately look like if it's not already what it is.
That's always super exciting for the new expansion. It's kind of like the banner, you know, the official poster almost with the music.
Yeah, I always wait for it. It's like I'm always like, that feels like the moment of, all right, we're almost there, everybody. We got music. Yeah. We have an intro screen where people are logging into something that isn't either temporary or from the old expansion. Like, I don't know, whatever reason, that just gives the game momentum. And it reminds me that we should get Russell back on the show and do our regular new expansion chat with Mr. Music Man over there and see what's going on. And chat room's asking, will it be a new instance theme? Probably. We do this every time there's a new expansion. We go back and rework it. And Matthew Oxley, the musical genius that he is, comes up with something super cool. So we'll let you guys know. But yeah, it's exciting. I you know, as much as I've avoided the PTR, I'm still watching what's happening there pretty carefully every day. Like, I'm interested in what's happening there. I don't want to go spoil myself on a bunch of gameplay, but I'm pretty jazzed every day that goes by as we get closer to August 30th, which, by the way, is now competing with No Man's Sky. I just want to throw that out there. They delayed that game. It was supposed to come out June 27th. That game now, one of the hotly anticipated games of the last couple of years, is now coming out like the week of Warcraft and its new expansion. So looking forward to that.
You know, it's not just No Man's Sky. That full period is going to be insane. It's going to be crazy. There's Persona, there's Final Fantasy 15, there's Destiny probably that's going to be out, there's obviously WoW, No Man's Sky, there's so much stuff that's coming out, and then you move on to October, and I mean, I'm sure we're going to hear about most of those at E3, and that, if you thought that the last couple of years had crazy you know, releases gaming wise, it would, like, every year was an awesome year. This year is going to be even crazier.
Do you think we're just getting to the point where, I mean, there's so many games, and whether you're talking about AAA titles or small releases or digital only or indie games or whatever, I used to be, when I was, you know, in my 20s, I was checking magazines once a month for what was coming out. And I'd be like, oh, sweet, that one, maybe two games on a crazy holiday time. Maybe that's my life. That's going to be my life, is these two games. But now it's every day I'm checking Steam. Every day there's some patch to a Blizzard game I'm interested in. Every Tuesday there's something new coming out and content that I want. Like, it's weird. It's an embarrassment of riches, and it's crazy. And I don't know that it's ever going to change. It seems like either we're either having a bubble and it's going to burst, or this is just the way it is moving forward forever.
Well, you know, the craziest thing is, we talked about this on the latest Pixels every company is making lots of money. You know, it's all of the big publishers, be it, you know, Ubisoft, EA, Activision, all of them, all of the Western publishers, and all of the Japanese publishers, all of them, you know, Square Enix, Bandai Namco, maybe not Capcom, but that's a side thing, yeah. Konami even. And everyone's making money with all of those games coming out, competing for our attention. It's kind of like there's no way this is not going to, I mean, I don't know if it's going to keep going, but video games have grown so much and the market is so large that even with all of those games coming out, everyone's selling enough to make a profit. So
yeah, I don't know that it's, I it's can't see the
bubble.
Yeah. I don't see a downside necessarily, but it is different, you know, like even different than a few years ago. It feels like things have really changed.
Yeah. The only downside is that I don't have time to play all the games I want to play. Even, you know, within the Blizzard universe, I would like to play more of some of the games. But if you go outside of it, so many games I want to play and get good at and experience, and I don't have time. There's too much good stuff. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, that's an all right problem. I see every time I log in, I'm like, I wonder what Dills is up to. And I'll see he's in Overwatch. I'll come back. I'll go get something to eat. Come back. I'll look at Battle.net. Oh, he's in Diablo now. I come back. He's, yeah. he's in Hearthstone ridiculous. Again. Like, it is kind of, I mean, do you feel that way, Dills? Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's like an avalanche that just keeps coming.
Yeah. It's funny too, because in the position we're in, you know, you want to be able to really devote serious time to every single one of them. And it's just an impossibility at this point. There was a time where I could really put in all my effort into like three games because that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's six games, and that's just it's just too much. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's getting this way with almost everything though too. Like we've literally, I think, had like five superhero movies come out in the last like month and a half or something like that too. It's like every single thing that we're all into is just like nonstop.
We're gonna get Star Wars every year. We're gonna get Marvel movies every couple of months. Like it is, it's super crazy to me. Like it's this way with comics for me and books and TV. Think about TV for a second. Like there's so much I want to watch on Twitch right now. There's so much I want to watch on HBO now later. I've got this other show I want to catch up on. I got a million things to see, watch, do, read, consume.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
I can't. Yeah, I know. I can't keep up with this and TV. It's like, I don't even watch regular TV anymore. I just don't.
I don't either.
Part of my radar. I wait till something's like completely done with the whole season, and then I binge it. And that's basically, you know, that's my...
Well, Patrick, if I'm in Japan, I might be, though, because that place has some... I remember, here's my memory of Japan TV. One of my memories.
All right, here we go.
I was in Tokyo for a couple of nights, and my first night there, I was really jet-lagged and couldn't sleep, as you know how that goes. And so I'm laying in this bed that was not made for a guy my size. A little tiny, shorty, little stupid bed. Having a terrible time sleeping. There's a TV on in there. So I'm like, all right, let's see what's on at 2:30 in the morning in Tokyo. And it was this... competition or something. I don't know if, I mean, I didn't know the language, so I don't know what they were saying, but throughout the entire city, there were just stacks and stacks, domino style, of VHS tapes. I don't know why, old VHS tapes, stacked for miles and miles and miles, and then they started it, had cameras all over the city, and they were doing like play-by-play about where it had fallen. It would cut through some people's houses, and then back out into the streets, and then up some building, and then down the other side, and like this domino effect of VHS tapes went on for like, I don't know, 4 miles of winding around Tokyo. And I still, to this day, I'm like, why isn't that on at 2:30 in the morning where I live? Like, that's amazing. It was incredible, man. Still,
yeah,
I still
don't know. Yeah, Japan is something special.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time leaving. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Well, usually programs are more like people with their head stuck in a jar with a spider or something like that. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't want
that. But you know what it is, that problem we're talking about is I get on those emotional bends from time to time, and I'm like, this is geek culture having won. Mm. This is what it is, right? It's everything we loved when we were kids, including, you know, VHS tapes, dominoes, but also superhero movies and games and all of that have won. It is the popular culture now, and you have some kind of a, you know, divide. Generational divide where some people are still going to be watching stupid stuff on TV, but there's clearly a wave of younger people who this is what they do now. I'm guessing this is what our parents felt at some point when, you know, not our parents, maybe our grandparents, when rock and roll became the dominant form of music, and it was a way of life, you know. Or maybe when hippies invaded the entire population and demographic space, or that kind of thing. It's like, yes, we are the new thing now, and that's what the world is.
We're in charge. Yeah. So you know what's going to be. Here's what's going to happen. So gamers and comic book readers and nerds grew up and got into positions of power and money, and now that's who runs everything. Okay, great. So what do we got next? Is it just going to be, is the selfie generation going to, what's that going to look like when they're in charge? Holy shit. This is where I start to sound like an old guy. Like, I can't.
I think the selfie generation is still our generation. What I'm really afraid of is what comes next.
Yeah.
What, you know, the thing that we just really, because selfies, we all do it. But once we're like 50 or 60 and the kids start doing something weird that we really don't get, that's when it's going to be interesting. And when we're like, ah, oh, back in my day, I'd play Hearthstone on my phone for 10 hours.
Yeah, it'll be weird. I'm actually.
I think we're at like the perfect age, though, and I know like we have a little bit of spread between the three of us, but
sure.
Like I'm glad that I remember a time when nobody had a cell phone.
Yep.
You know, I'm glad I remember a time when there were payphones. I'm glad I remember a time we had to call somebody and hope they were home. Mm-hmm. And I'm young enough to adopt things like computers. That, you know, the moment they become a big deal, right?
Sure.
Like I remember the internet being like, whoa, what, we can all chat, that's crazy, man. You know, and now there's just like, I talk to kids who are, you know, 13, 14, they never remember a time without the internet being just every day all the time.
Yeah, I was talking to my daughter the other night. She was born in 94. That makes her 21, and that's freaky enough in its own way, but it just hit me the other day when I was talking to her. I'm like, you haven't been on the planet where you didn't know it as a place where the internet existed, not just as some Telnet freaking BBS garbage, yep, whatever Usenet thing. We're talking about, like, you know, Yahoo. I could go to Yahoo and she was born. Like, that's really well, that's weird the thing.
There was a time when you would go, ah, I don't know how that is. I got to go to the library. Like, I don't know what, you know, like, I got to learn about something. I need to go somewhere and it's reference like, the Dewey Decimal System. What? Like, no, it's just, you pull up the thing out of your pocket and you type it in, then you know.
This is in, you know, it really sounds like old man
it
being
really
ridiculous,
does.
But
it really
it's
does.
Like, I absolutely agree with you. You know, like, what you have to realize this, you have to tell people. There was a time when you're talking about some, you know, I don't know, African country, and you don't remember the population of, because whatever, you didn't, that was it. You didn't know unless you had a super expensive encyclopedia at home, which not many people did. You didn't know. And that was over.
Yeah.
it's I'm sure, you know, we sound like people who are like, I don't know. There was a time.
You could do it. You could do it now and say,
go somewhere, you had to walk.
You could even say, you could say to a new WoW player, go back 10 years. We had the updater was like a BitTorrent client. And if you didn't hurry up and get in on it on the first day, then you'd have really slow updates. Like, there was no BattleNet launcher. Like, the whole thing is so weird now.
There was a time for every game, but including Blizzard games, you had to download a patch and run it as an executable to update your game, like in the right folder, at the right. Yep. And
I had like five or six of them, like the installers or whatever. I just had a ton of them.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, why is my computer full? Yeah. Oh, I have all these installers from like the last, you know, five patches.
Oh, it sucks.
But, you know, I guess to bring it all full circle, though, like the point of recognizing that we know these two versions of what we have now, which is the not haves and now we do have, is that I think we appreciate that it's like everywhere now, that now the geekdom and the nerd stuff is bountiful, and we appreciate it because it was hard to get.
Yeah,
it was hard to get to. You had to seek it out, and now it's just like cool nerdy stuff is shoved in your face every day.
I just wonder if it'll swing back, like if we'll end up with the jocks running the world again. You know?
Well, you could get to a certain point where I guess you could say that there's geek fatigue. I guess that could happen. But you know, I wonder if you could find a way to really kind of solve like why it has gone this direction.
Yeah.
And you probably could make an argument for, as you know, technology advances and things like that, being big and strong isn't as important anymore.
Well, in the
this is just a societal thing.
Sure,
like, and the nerdiness is now
it's just fine. Part of it, right? Yeah. It's baked in now. I agree yeah. with that. And you could argue the two groups have meshed. Like, here's Dills doing a nerd show about a game that's nerdy. He's just finished watching some nerds play Overwatch on Twitch, and he's super interested in the Warriors and the playoffs and the NBA.
Tweet about basketball for the next three hours.
I see what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't just because we're into this stuff doesn't mean we're not into the other thing. And more often than not, like, I know guys in high school that were not nerds in high school. They all claim they are now, but in high school they were freaking not, and they hated our guts and they picked on us. And now they all claim to be huge nerds, wear Captain America shirts all day. Like, we totally won. Okay, so back to Patrick's original point. We won the fight. It's over. We win. Everybody go enjoy your spoil, the spoils of war.
Suck it, jocks.
I think, yes, it is. You know, sometimes I look at the world today and it's like I want to raise a giant middle finger to all the people who were, you know, like discounting us. And anyway, but now we've won. You know, it's okay. Let's just welcome everyone. We're
cool. That's fine. We're very open. You're all welcome.
Everyone can love video games. Everyone can love comics. And if you're the kind of, you know, Conan mean bully a-hole-y thing that you're going to do your Clueless Gamer stuff, just get stuffed. I don't like that.
Okay, can we talk? I want to talk about that for a second. So one of the things around this launch, there was a lot of media, both mainstream and otherwise, around the launch of Overwatch. And you specifically did not take a liking to the Clueless Gamer segment that Conan does, the one he did specifically for Overwatch with two of the cast members of Game of Thrones. And I watched it after you had said what you said, and I came away realizing, oh, it's kind of like it always is. Like, it's always kind of like this. So
Conan's been like that with other things too. When he was at BlizzCon that one time.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was kind of a dick to the people that he was doing the casting with.
Yeah.
And I kind of character. I don't know.
I kind of get it. But
To your point, Scott, it's always like this, and I always hate it.
Yeah, no, I don't like. I'm not a giant fan either, is what I was trying to get at. It's not. It's okay. There are moments.
You know, the thing is, we talked about it at length on Overwatchers. So if you want to hear more, you can go listen to that. But I just think it's mean-spirited. It's not having fun with the people. It's having fun at the expense of the people, and it's. You know, he's a bully in that way, at least with gaming. I don't know if he is with other things. And it's kind of okay-ish because he's funny. I admit he's funny, but I dislike being funny at the expense of other people and making fun of people. And there's plenty of this in comedy, but there's often I don't know, you have to be a little bit self-aware and sort of winking at someone at some point. Here it's just, look at those gamers nerds, look at you, you're a nerd. And you're like, what are you doing? Are we in the 90s? Like, what is this? Are you pushing someone around in a high school hallway?
I'm glad you got a chance to express this.
And I think it's disparaging, it's disrespectful, and it's just mean.
Yeah,
and I don't get
sure. So. I think it's a shtick.
I didn't take away that much of that from it. I get what you're saying, but I don't remember the part where he was like calling people nerds, but I didn't like the part where they suddenly went off about like the butts and stuff and the Widowmaker butts for like a while. Like that was the one part I was like, I could have done without this.
And I doubt Blizzard liked that.
They played all Widowmakers. And
if there was something Blizzard didn't like about it, probably that, given their recent hullabaloo with Tracer and her stupid pose and all that stuff. So they probably weren't happy.
It's just
the whole
game, you know, every chance they get, you know, Kaplan says the game wants to be inclusive and to welcome everyone. And that's something he said in the latest interview. You know, there was a Facebook live thing. He said, you know, the community is what we make of it. And we want to be nice to each other. And we want to be welcoming and all of this. But, you know, even beyond that, that Conan thing in general, the Clueless Gamer, I think he does it because he understands gaming is a big thing.
Yeah.
But there
was a popular segment he did one time, and then he played, I think it was,
it's like Assassin's Creed or something, or like Halo, or
it was what should we call it? Tomb Raider. I think he played like Tomb Raider
Oh,
with some guy, like with a production guy on his staff who was like a gamer. And it was a popular segment or something.
Yeah, and it took off.
And so they just continued doing it.
And it's a shtick that kind of works. I mean, for mainstream viewers, though, you know, I know why they're doing it. It works because mm-hmm. people think it's funny. And they think it's funny because here's a guy foreign to that world trying to play in there. And some of those tropes and things that we're all sort of used to, they stick out to him. So he plays off of those, makes jokes about him. Like, I guess I should say, I'm not surprised that it's a popular thing for him to do.
But he does it with all of his segments. Like, if you want to watch when he goes back, there's guys who play old timey baseball. It's like a thing they do. Yeah. They all get together and they play baseball by like the 1890s rules or whatever it is. Right. When baseball like first became a thing.
Sure.
And they dress up like those players and all this stuff. And he went to the game and played with them and all that stuff and made a funny segment. And it was really funny. But if you really watch it, I mean, he is making fun of them the whole time. I mean, that is the joke is them.
Yeah.
Is that like, look at these silly people doing this silly thing.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of his shtick, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not going to be for everybody. But I agree with you, Patrick. Like, I prefer non-mean comedy if I have my druthers, right?
Sure.
He knows it works.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I think there's something about him being the jock type, making fun of the nerdy types, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a jock and you make fun of jocks,
yeah, that's the
no.
Funny
but
thing,
I mean, he's tall. He's older generation. I don't know that he plays sports, but he feels like someone who is. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't feel qualified to make fun of certain things in the sense that if you're a gamer, you can make fun of games. It's okay. If you're a black person, you can make, you know, N word jokes. If you're,
yeah, you can be self-deprecating in the field that you're in or in the place that you're at. Right. I get that.
But if the jock or the TV person or, you know, your dad comes in the room and goes like, oh, look at those anime stupid characters. You're like, shut up.
Yeah.
I like
you,
this.
Man. Yeah. No, but see, like, for me, though, like, I totally get it and I'm on board. But, you know, it's like Conan got kind of started as like the outcasty guy who wrote for The Simpsons and kind of got it. Right. Yeah. That was like his thing. And then he has kind of progressed into this character. But I think it's like kind of gone. It's happened over time. Mm. So I'm still like I've been a fan of his for a long time. So to me, it's like, I probably give him the benefit of the doubt, but I get that, like, you look at it, and if you just look at it objectively with no kind of background, whatever to it, then it sucks. But he's no, like, Colin Cowherd, you know?
No,
he's
not actually
coming out and saying, screw esports, it's stupid, it's lame. Right. Like, he's not straight up dissing it.
Yeah, that's a whole different level of
he's
whatever.
Like skirting around the edge and lampooning it in a way that can come across as mean, for sure.
To me, the comparison is like, all right, well, maybe it's because we're into it, so we're closer to it. So when you see somebody like Stephen Colbert or back in the day, Steve Carell or one of those guys on The Daily Show going after some politician, well, they were doing it, and a lot of times the politician thought, well, this is just a serious interview with a reporter and didn't really know that they were getting yanked around like this.
They didn't realize they were the
joke. To me, it's a bit like that, but in those cases, especially if it's a politician I totally disagree with, well, my bias is towards, we should make them look stupid in front of everybody because what they're saying is stupid. And you could see somebody making the claim that what Conan is doing with games is exposing some of its ridiculous sides. You could make that argument. I'm not saying I agree with it because I'm too close to it to make a call.
I think that's a really far-fetched comparison. It's, you know, the comedy, of course, comedy is going to be mean sometimes and comedy, or rather, it's going to make fun of stuff. And the politicians is a completely different ballpark. I think but yes, it's going to be making fun of stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying I hate comedy, right? I'm not saying never make fun of anyone.
I don't think we're the audience either for this segment. I think this segment is supposed to be for people who don't get video games, and then they watch it and they laugh because it's you know.
Yeah, if I was to look at a game of basketball and go like, look at these guys running around and like they're throwing a ball in a net. what the hell are they doing? Everyone would look at me and go like, who is this guy? What is he like? It's not funny, and it's kind of dumb.
Well,
I feel about the way they talk about.
You know,
you're right.
We understand. Why.
But if games were
as big as basketball, let's say video games were at the level of professional basketball as your comparison, He wouldn't even have. Well, what I'm saying is he wouldn't even have a segment at this point, because then what you're talking about is enough mainstream appeal and enough knowledge base that then it just comes off as just like, well, what are you doing? We get it. It's video games.
His segment doesn't work in that particular case, right? It only works because it's niche and most people don't get it, and so they laugh because they're on board with him, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they don't get it either, and so they think it's funny. And he gets people who also don't get it. So like, it wouldn't work if he got two professional Overwatch players to come in and play Overwatch with him. It also wouldn't work there. He has to get other actors who clearly suck at the game. By the way, like, that was, to me, the most offensive part of that video was watching those two try to play Overwatch.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's just it only works because of that. Right? Yeah.
I think there would be ways of making a Clueless Gamer segment that is not offensive. I think, you know, we've managed to make Captain America into a movie that actually makes sense. I think there are ways of making a non-gamer.
We're getting there. Person.
Well, it would have to have somebody like us to also be there. Like, you have somebody like Conan, who is the Clueless Gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone like us who actually goes like, yeah, this isn't actually that weird, man. This is a totally normal thing that's going on.
And his producer guy, his producer gamer guy is supposed to be that guy, but he doesn't do that as much as he did in the beginning.
Barely is there. Yeah, exactly. If he was more of a presence, maybe it wouldn't come across the way it does. But
I maintain, as video games, I totally agree, but I just maintain that the more video games inject themselves into the larger culture, the less this stuff will be as mean-spirited and clueless. It'll be less clueless because it is kind of clueless. Yeah. Like, it's for my parents.
If he made himself the joke, it wouldn't come across this way. And that's, like, if you had professional gamers on, and he was the joke because he didn't get it, then it wouldn't come across this way at all. But just the way it's set up, that's why.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to get a more email about that than we ever will about what's on the PTR. So.
Please, Meebo!
Yeah, sorry. It's going to happen. Warcraft movie box office numbers, real quick. Warcraft was released in 20 markets so far, not the U.S. yet, but everywhere else, it feels like, except here. Drives the hell
what the
out of me.
What's up with that, man?
Bugs the hell out of me.
It's like when I lived in San Francisco and everywhere else got the fiber.
Yeah, what the
hell?
Like, dude, up with that?
I live in San Francisco. Come on, man.
Yeah, the home
of, made here.
Exactly.
By Americans.
What are all these startups that are going to bring like mac and cheese to your house going to do for their internet?
I live in Austin. Google Fiber.
Yeah, sure, that's no right, problem. Baby. How's that treating you, by the way? Good?
Oh, my God. So good.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted out, like, hey, everybody, send me your speed tests. I want to see what you guys have. And I looked at them all and I just laughed. I was like, yeah, look at these plebs. Oh, 100 down. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Lucky bastard.
You know, what I really hate about Dills is how he's mean-spirited to the people who don't have a good internet connection.
The clueless ISP-er. Yeah.
What, you don't all have 1,000 down, 1,000 up? What? Come on.
Clueless web browsers. All right, so here's the deal. It is number one in all 19 of 20 of those markets. In Germany, the movie had the biggest opening of the year so far. That's 45% market share. That's pretty impressive considering this is a year with some sizable films that also did well internationally, like Captain America 3 and so on. In Russia, the movie had the second biggest opening with 65% market share. They don't say what the first did. I'm just going to assume 50 Shades of Grey, but that's just because I want to make fun of Russians. I'm so mean-spirited to these Russians. Variety is reporting the Russian opening only, it was behind Deadpool, they did say. So Deadpool was the big opener. With the seventh biggest opening day of all time in Russia. So for all-time records, Warcraft, seventh biggest. In China, ticket pre-sales for the release night are already the sixth highest ranking movie of all time there. And the news is not great in the U.S. The opening projection is only $25 million. That's the projection. But as we know, projections can change based on actual attendance and, you know, who cares? It is interesting, though, to see it doing so well internationally. And I guess that's good. They're making money. That maybe means if you make enough money, you can justify sequels. The world is movies are less dependent on U.S. box office alone than they used to be. In fact, more and more now, you're seeing movies opening sometimes a month ahead in other countries. And the money they make abroad is more important to their bottom line. So I can only guess that this means sequels or more work from.
Well, so we have to be really careful about these opening weeks numbers because, I mean, obviously it's awesome and I'm surprised that it's doing that well already, which is great news. I wanted to do super well, but you also have to remember that every person who wants to watch this movie is going to go watch it opening day. Right. Everyone's going to go watch it in the opening week. It's every fan of the game. Mm-hmm. And what happens with comic book movies is that they are great movies, so people then tell others, you should go watch it. It's really great. You know, even if you don't care about comics, you're going to have a good time. And so the subsequent weeks also make a lot of money. My worry is that's not going to happen with WoW, because as we've seen, traditional critics seem to not like the movie. Mm-hmm. And every gamer I've seen, every WoW fan I've seen says it's the best thing ever. So yeah. I'm sort of worried that the movie is not going to have legs in the long run in the theater, and that could hamper its revenue. Mm-hmm. But yeah. You know, but already the fact that it's opening so big is a great sign. So we'll see what happens. But just a word of caution yeah. there.
Well, I know like DC fanboys liked Batman v Superman just because it was their movie, right? Mm-hmm. So there could be
some did.
There's no way that this movie is as bad as that movie. Yeah. First of all, that's just impossible. But even so, like we might come at it with rose-colored glasses a little bit. For sure.
I totally am. I'm going to admit and right up front. Yeah, I am biased as hell. I want this mm-hmm. to be great. This is the first time. Usually, I look at Rotten Tomatoes and I go, you know, the aggregate score is usually right around where my head is. It's about how I felt about the movie, so it usually agrees with me. This is a case where I'm going completely against that because I'm a biased mm-hmm. fanboy and I want this to be great, and I don't care. Yeah. You know?
Well, you know,
I will hamster away every prop problem with this movie until it is fine. I will do that for sure. Especially the first time I see it. I'm going to walk out of that theater loving it no matter what, right? But it is true. It's concerning that it's getting panned a little bit by critics because we want it to translate to mainstream audiences, right? Yeah. And yeah. if it doesn't, that's going to cause problems as far as actual revenue. But they spent fairly little on this movie in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, compared to your average, line, yeah. it's a successful movie. Then
compared to your average,
how much did they spend?
I had the number handy earlier and I've lost it. Let me see. I'll find it. While Patrick, you were going to say something. I'll look that up while you were talking.
So it says $100 million, yeah, which you're yeah. right. It's not. That's it's not much. A huge not that amount. Much. It's easy to recoup, I would say, with a movie like mm-hmm. this. But maybe you know, just gamers going to see it is going to be enough. To make money. I mean, it's probably going to make money, which is great. But it's not even about being biased. It's about what you appreciate in the movie if you've played the game. You know, in that sense, yes, maybe bias plays into it. But it is absolutely understandable that people who have played the game, who have seen this universe, for whom, you know, big orcs that have feelings is not a weird thing. That they're going to appreciate the movie probably more than people who don't have that background. So yeah. I don't even think it's about the bias. It's about where your context, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true. It is to a certain extent. It's not really like rose colored glasses as much as just getting it right. Like we're going to get it. Mm-hmm. But you know, like I said, like I will be curious to read all these reviews later. I'm certainly not going to do it right now because I don't want to know anything going in. I want to keep it as fresh of an experience as possible.
Yeah.
But when I read these reviews later, I'm going to be paying attention to, do I think the guy just didn't get it or does he have real gripes?
Yeah, that's actually going to be fun to go do. I kind of agree with that. That's a good way to go back and kind of gauge your sort of post feelings about it and compare it with what others came away with. But I'm just so to this point where I just want to nerd out at stuff I love. Like I don't need anything else. Like if they give me scenes and stuff that happens that's exciting in the way that the games have been, because look, I'm going to say something semi-controversial. Blizzard knows character better than they know story. And I'll explain a little bit. They can take Overwatch is a prime example of this that's fresh in my mind, but they can take characters and give me very little backstory, actual tangible written or otherwise presented backstory, and I walk away going, oh my gosh, I can just feel what that character is and who that's supposed to be. They're iconic and they're really good at that. This is one thing Metzen just absolutely excels at, is creating iconic characters. And iconic characters like Thrall and Jaina and Uther, and the list goes on forever of iconic characters in the Warcraft universe, is really astounding and staggering. But no one's ever going to argue that from a pure, like a book standpoint, although there have been some good books around the game, I don't want to deny Christy Golden or anyone else those accolades, but for the most part, the core stuff, the originating material, It's not that incredible of a plot or story. It really isn't. It's mostly about badass moments from very iconic characters we relate with. And that's all I want. So if that's what this movie is and that's what critics don't like, well, then we're all going to we're all going right where we think we're going.
It is true, because if you think about the Warcraft story, it's like there's some magical item that does something magical that you got to go get it. And somebody died on the way. And, what you know, it's like that's really what's constantly happening over and over again. Right. And it's why is this thing so magical? I don't know. But it just is, man. And we got to go get it. You know, and that's really what's happening all the time. So you're right. But you care about the characters because they really matter no matter what it is they're doing.
They do.
You know?
Like, and why do I give a shit about. Let's say, like, I have all this feeling for Hanzo right now because he's in this, or Hand Soap, as his brother calls him. but I'm really into him, and I'm into his conflict and his internal struggle based on like 3 minutes of like the sleeve video that they made about this thing, and I'm in love with it. Now, people are cynical about that, and there are plenty of them who are. You can read about it on the internet all the time. These videos Blizzard were making, they're just so simple and on the nose, and there's no complexity to the characters.
Well, they are for Overwatch. They are, and they're 7 minutes of snippets of nothing. So they have to be. But I'm going to disagree with you, Scott, on the story thing.
All right, go for it.
I think Blizzard does mythology exceptionally well. The WoW mythology is really cool, and there are lots of elements that gel together for, you know, 20 years of games surprisingly well. The Diablo mythology is really cool. I think you're right that the characters are the best part of the lore of the games, but there are also story moments that are really cool. You know, the story of Illidan and his brother and Tyrande, and you know, that moment in the entire lore of Warcraft is really cool. The story of obviously Arthas and his dad, and it is a little bit tropey, and it always is.
That's my point. That's entirely my point, because everything you've said I agree with so far. I'm just saying that they are all tropey. And again, totally open to that. Love that.
And it's fine.
And they
it's
do fine. It like nobody's business. They are better at it than any other game company working today, period. But I'm not gonna sit here and say Diablo 3 was a really good quote unquote story. It was a really great iconic story full
of Diablo moments. 3 sucked. Are you kidding me? No, Diablo 3 was not a good story. Diablo, that I will say that it was full of missed opportunities. That Leah thing was too bad. Deckard Cain dying like this, I completely agree. It was not worthy of anything. No, Diablo 3, I think, is, you know, you're not going to have, you know, perfect hits for every game that you put out and in every department. I think the story of Diablo 3 was undoubtedly the weakest of possibly all of the games they've put out.
And
that might include Hearthstone, by the way. So
and Hearthstone.
That was funny because Hearthstone doesn't have a story.
Right. I get what you're saying.
That was the joke.
That was really good. It was really good. It was really good. I'm taking that one all the way to the bank. That was a good joke.
Thank you.
But okay, totally agree. I what you're saying is what I already feel like. And you're right. And WoW has the richest of the story threads. It has the most. There's just a quantity there that's hard to argue with. I don't know, like whether or not that stuff ever translates to be the kind of depth somebody wants from a J.R.R. Tolkien film. That may not happen. That may never happen.
Well, so I think there is depth. I think there would be enough to do. But the big question is, has Duncan Jones and his team made a movie that translates to the general public in the sense that the comic book movies do? Because they started really approachable with Iron Man and even, you know, Captain America. Those movies were basically regular movies, which got a twist somewhere along the way. And often until like the middle of the movie, it was just a normal movie with nothing to tell you that it was a comic book stuff, you know, comic book story. Mm-hmm. So in the comic book movies, they did this possibly by design to get normal people sucked into the stories. Obviously for Warcraft, I don't think they did it, because you have, you know, giant green orcs everywhere, and that's really hard to make into a regular approachable normal story. So the big question is, has he expanded the reach of that story to normal people? It seems like he hasn't, according to what the critics are saying. Mm-hmm. So that might be too bad because it's less of a consumer product. But I honestly think from everything we've heard that for the gamers we are, it's fine. We're going to be happy with it.
Yeah, that's all I want.
It seems like. Yep.
Yep. So bring it on.
Although, like, is it possible without years and years of stuff to really set this up properly? I don't know. That's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, like, the moment you started playing World of Warcraft, the story was there, but also you had, like, it's different for a movie, right? You also had, oh my God, I'm going in, I'm creating a character, I'm leveling like this. Yeah. That's, so the story, as much as you loved it, wasn't really like the most important thing, right? The game itself was so good that, you know, you, but then it happened to also have this amazing story that continued to progress over years and years. And now we're trying to jam it all into like 2 hours.
Which also had you in it. Like, you're a part of that story, especially in WoW. Like, if we pull it away from the RTSs and get into the place that's even more cinematic, like World of Warcraft itself, even then, you're such an important part of it. You're always treated as a hero beyond, you know, above many other heroes, even though we're all seeing the same stuff together or alone. You know, when Uther tells us to do something, we do it, and we think it's because we're special. Like, that, I think that dynamic is hard to translate to film. Like, real hard, you know? You can't just make Doom and have a first-person view for one of the fight scenes and have that work.
Yeah, which is what they tried to do for a long time. I think, though, we've gotten to the point now where every one of these things has translated into movies is a lot more elegant than it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go back and watch, like, the first time they tried to make a Fantastic Four movie, and you'll understand how inelegant they
Or watch the last time they tried to make a Fantastic Four movie.
Or the last time, true. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that one just has some issues. True, but true.
Marvel needs to take that one back, get it back in the house. They'll fix it. I'm confident.
But, you know, it's like we expect
one at
so
a time,
much.
They have Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's we true. Expect so much now from the comic book movies that, you know, I think there would have been a time where Batman v Superman would have been looked at as, yeah, it's a comic book movie, so we're not taking it seriously anyway. Mm-hmm. But now we expect them to all be great, right? Yep. So it really stands out how poor it was as a movie.
Yep.
And there was a time where we were just happy that comic books were being made into movies, period.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Those were the good times. Or those were the times, the dark times. Sorry, now it's the good times, everybody.
Let them roll. Those were the dark times. We were happy, but they were dark times.
Yeah, we're happy in our dark times.
I need to reboot my Mac. Sorry, I'll be right back.
Oh, okay, yeah, reboot your Mac. What happened? What are you talking about? Did you really be rebooting your Mac?
Yes, yes. Oh, it's stuck. It's completely stuck. Sorry. Uh-oh. I can only use Skype now. Although, can you see my video?
Yeah, you're moving. Yeah. You're moving.
All right. Maybe I'm not gonna reboot. I can't do anything. It's a brick that has Skype running on it.
Oh,
right,
this is gonna be the most boring rest of show you've ever had. You can't play Hearthstone or anything. It's gonna be terrible.
Oh man. Yeah, this, I gotta sit here and just talk to you guys.
Yeah, I know. If this happened to Terpster, this would be the last show he ever did. By the way, we may have seen the last of Terpster. I just want to throw something out there. That guy had a viral video of him asking a certain actor to do a certain thing. Yeah. I'm not gonna say what because it's still too soon, I think. But that thing shot to number one on YouTube and surpassed every other trending video, which is not easy to do on that service. Absolutely impossible to do. And I think maybe he just needs to remember the little people and it was good knowing you, Terpster. See you later. Have fun. Jeez Louises, man. That was crazy those couple days. All right. Let's talk about Heroes of the Storm real quick. A couple of bits of news. Nothing crazy. There'll be more details on Stormcast and Core, so you can get a much meatier bite into what's happening in Heroes of the Storm on those two shows. But 1 year anniversary means 50% XP boost and some new bundles and deals. So if you want to get in, earn a bunch of XP, this is a great time to do it. And they're celebrating their first year, which kind of crept up on me. Their first official year outside of beta, of course.
Still no actual seasons yet, but soon.
Yeah, soon. But you know what? In kind of a weird way, it made me go, oh, that's right. It's only 12 months. Like, it's not for a game that's meant to last forever. That's not really that very long, and it makes me feel a little less butthurt about them not having seasons yet. You know,
but it is a long time to go without seasons, man. But you're right. Like, this is in the grand scheme of things, you know, in 2 years, we're not going to be looking back caring anymore that it took them a year to make the first season. As long as the seasons are actually really good and make a lot of sense and it adds a lot to the gameplay, we'll never talk about it again. But, you know, game's been out for a long time.
Yeah, other than in positive ways.
By the way, how's your push for top 10 rank?
Oh, I freaking gave up. It pissed me off.
Because I went into a game the other day.
Yeah.
And first of all, this was a game where I played fantastically.
Yeah.
I was number one in everything, literally everything. I had one death, and I was number one in all the damage, both siege and hero damage, and number one in XP. And I died only one time, where everybody else had like five or more deaths on my team, right?
Yeah.
And we won the game.
Oh.
And yet still, I had the entire team I was playing with crapping on me the entire game.
Why?
Because I was false dad, and one time I gusted everybody out when I didn't realize Jaina was putting her stupid circle down, right? One time. And look, we're not on voice chat. I don't know that you're about to put your damn freeze circle down. I have no idea.
Yeah.
All I know is they're all on the point, and I need to gust them off so we can take the giant, right? That's my thought process.
Yeah.
And yet the entire rest of the game, everyone thinks that I'm friggin' Hitler.
Yeah.
In Heroes of the Storm form, right?
And seriously, you still won the game.
They just never stopped. Dude, that's frustrating. I had to block each and every person I was playing with.
Yeah.
And I basically carried the entire team to victory. And I was like, this is why this game is a problem.
Imagine being
a team-based game.
Imagine being the captain of a small ship where you're the captain and you're trying to do the best you can, and everyone else on that ship is a huge dick.
I know, right?
Like, what are you going to do? Like, there's no... Yeah. Oh, it sucks. I only like to play with friends, and that's just kind of true everywhere. I've run into some...
But the problem is that the game itself, like, if I want to advance in Hero League, ranked play, I have to play with just me and one other person at the most, right?
Yeah.
So those are my options. And doing that can be a bit hairy from time to time. So,
well, I'll tell you what, for me, the poop and the brownie was this. I got to the point, all I wanted to do, honestly, at this stage, because the time's going so fast, was hit 40 after the placement match, because I hardly ever play Hero League. And once I did that, that meant I got the mount, the elemental mount. Okay, not the big fancy one, but just the normal one.
30. Yeah. 30. Not 40. Yeah,
30. I meant 30, sorry. Did I say... No, I thought it was 30
you
for
said
the...
40.
I thought it was 40 for the one and... Yeah, no. Maximum rank for the basic one, and then the pro or the nicer one.
You get the super nice one at 10.
Do I have it all
backwards?
You don't
get anything until 30.
Oh, well, then forget it. For some reason, I had it in my head it was only 40. All right, well, here's...
No,
here's...
but 40, you can't not hit 40. 40, you don't lose points.
No, I know that.
Yeah, you can only gain until 40. 50 to 40 is like... 25 to 20 hours done.
So, here's what happened. So we finished. I thought I was going to end up at that rank. The last game we played, John on our team finished his placement matches and hit 40. And we won that game. Next game we played, we lose that game, and it puts me out at 42. So I was like, that sucks.
No. You can't go back before
No. These are just placement matches. Yeah. These are just
the placement.
Yeah. These are just placement matches. So then I went and did hot slog math, or John did specifically, came back to me and says, all right, I did some math. If we would have won that game, and he had exactly all the math that goes into as best hot slogs can tell us, okay, because it's not perfect science, but as best we could tell, if we won that match, I would have been 40 as well. And I was so pissed. Yeah. And now add to that, I thought that's when you got the basic mount and there was a better one later. Now that I know that's not true, I actually feel a little better about it. But just put yourself in my head where I was like, well, if I have at least 40.
How were you playing placement matches now? I really think
he
you're
hadn't completed his placement matches.
I haven't completed them. I hate them. I hate Hero League. We've been playing more team.
It's Hero.
Oh, no, not Hero League. Yeah. Sorry. Team League. Not Hero League.
Team League. Okay. Team League. Okay.
Team League. I keep saying Hero League. I placed a long time ago in Hero League. Team League. Okay. We never did because it's hard to get five people, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
Now we're playing on the regular with five, and we're all doing our placement matches, and even our best players who are killing it and super high ranked, and you know, like I think Bo's like 10 or somewhere in Hero League.
Bo was like 7 last time I saw.
Yeah, he's really good.
Pretty high up there.
He hadn't even done his placements because again, it's hard to make sure five people are around and all that. So
I think I played 3 total team league games.
So isn't team league at 40? You get the thing.
I think it might be. I think it's different in Team League. That's what I'm trying to check now.
Yeah, see, I think that's why my head was where it was. So I know it's only 2 league ranks, and it's not that big a deal, but I just was so pissed because the math, if we had just won that game, I'd have had 40. If John's math is right, and that, you know, maybe it isn't, but it looked right to me. And I'm terrible at math, so don't take my opinion on any of this. But anyway, so that's going on. 50% XP boost, new bundles and stuff like that. If you play a match between June 2nd and 14th, you get the experience bonus. Yes.
So there you go. Team League is you get the elemental frost wolf mount at rank 30, so you wouldn't have gotten it.
Isn't there? Yeah. What's the other one then? 10 for that one too?
It's a preseason team league portrait at 40. And for Hero League, you need to get up to rank 20 to get the elemental wolf mount. So you get it a little bit 10 levels earlier in team league, but it's still 30 to get the mount.
My brain, yeah, my brain. I'm not doing it. Forget it. I'm waiting for season one, and you know, whatever. I'd love an MMR wipe. None of that stuff's happening, so we'll just have to wait and see. All right. So if you want to get the new bundle to celebrate this whole thing, you can get a bunch of heroes. Tyrael's Charger mount comes with that. 7-day stim pack, all that stuff. So you can go learn more about that. And that Hellbilly is coming because they're retiring the Billy the Kid goat. You can't buy that mount anymore. So he's out of there. And Hellbilly will be available starting next week as a reward for players who make any real money purchases in the in-game shop. So if you go buy a new hero, let's say Medivh comes out in a couple of weeks, you pick him up, boom, you win Billy the Hellbilly. I don't like the goats, so I don't think I care about this that much. All right, so there's that. And then finally, Medivh skills have been revealed, and the Hero Summit had all kinds of details about it. People can go look those up and check those out at any site that covers heroes, or you can listen to Stormcast or Core. We're going to go deep into that.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about him pretty soon. We're actually approaching episode 100 as well.
Oh, very nice.
And I believe we're going to have a really cool special guest for it. So,
oh, yeah.
It'll also be a good show for people who are super into heroes to check out. But yeah, I'm excited for Medivh. Chromie was kind of a bust.
You still think he's super OP?
Yeah, you were saying.
I think he's going to be pretty OP.
Yeah.
That being said, I think it's fine. Chromie was a total bust, which sucks.
Yeah. They'll fix
it. The problem that I have with Chromie is that she, in a game in its current state where lane clearing is so important, she cannot do it. Mm-hmm. She just can't do it.
Nope.
Her Q ability that's on a 3-second cooldown only hits heroes. And the problem with that is that clearing lanes and gaining XP is really how you win. Killing heroes is actually not how you win in Heroes of the Storm.
Right.
And I wish people would understand that because that's just not... People chase and chase and chase and die and do all the stupid stuff. We've talked about this on the show before. But you need... You see what happens in competitive play,
mm-hmm.
that the heroes that have really good stuns and lane clears are the heroes that are constantly being picked in high competitive play. And Chromie cannot do any of those things.
Nope.
So,
she needs a major overhaul at this point.
Yeah.
She's fun. Don't get me wrong. She's way fun, right? She's a good time.
Yeah.
But
I think they made her kind of weak because they thought her trait was going to be so damn good, right? Getting everything at a level earlier than everybody else seems like it's going to be amazing. But when you get your level 10 ult at level 9, but your ult doesn't actually do anything, like her ultimate ability slows people down.
Yeah.
Which would be really good if everyone else on your team had their ultimates, right? But at 9, she's the only one who has an ultimate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I slow everyone down, and then we don't kill any of them. So it doesn't matter.
And then if you can't lane clear at all, you're not contributing much XP to your team.
Yeah.
So
you can't
you're
ever
still
be on
gonna
your
be,
own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And everything you
So you're still going to be leveling maybe a little bit slower than the other team, your ultimate at 9 is not going to be as important.
Sure, plus she doesn't, everything has a wind up and it's all kind of telegraphed and it's just, I don't know, she just isn't great in those fights even. Like, so even if
they
you're like
12 tune
or 13.
Tune her up, I'm sure, and make her fine. Like, she has a pretty low health pool and some of her damage isn't that great. I've heard people, like Kyle says, oh, you can play her well and do well. But anybody can play any hero well and do well. That's not the thing, but it's just most people at their level, she's going to be totally crap.
Yeah.
And I think the scary part is if you turn her up too much to make it so that regular people can play her and be effective, the pros are going to be insane, right?
Gosh, yeah. That's the other thing.
She's in a tough spot. It might be a retool that she needs.
She needs a retool, and they need to do it because I spent $21 on her and her stupid skin alternate. So. Get on that, Blizzard.
That's a lot of money. When you think about it, every time a new hero comes out, they all have that little bundle for like $20.
Yeah. It's a video game.
It's like every 3 weeks I'm spending $20 on this game.
That's huge.
That's crazy.
It's more than I spent on WoW.
I've now moved into free-to-play model because, like, you know, for those who don't know, I don't have like a regular day job anymore. So I'm not spending $20 every 3 weeks on anything.
Well, and that's the funny thing is I kind of had the same commitment and was trying to cut down on my heroes purchases. And then this snuck in and I thought, you know what? I'm going to give her, she looks great. She sounds great. like everything about this seems really cool. And I just did it. Like I impulse bought her. And mm-hmm. I have buyer's remorse. I'm not ultimately, sure. like down the road, I'm sure she's going to be great. But like giving money up front for a thing I didn't really know that much about yet is really sad. And some of the best players I know, like Bo, adores her, loves playing her, played her constantly in every game we played where he was her, we lost. We lost, and not because of him specifically, yeah. but she is, so, like you were saying, the game between level 1 and 20 is won by lane clears and control of the map and objectives and all this stuff. And if you're not effectively doing it with her, then you're making the team lose, even if you're the best Chromie ever. Like, there's just no way around it.
So, anyway. I'm sure you can build a comp around her. I'm sure you can, but that's going to be really difficult to do in a world where drafting is how you play Hero League. So really, she's like a quick match hero at this point. And yeah, her win percentage right now is 30%.
Ugh, that's not good.
I don't think there's ever been a hero that has that low of a win percentage, even when they're total crap and they need to be retooled. Like Arthas never was 30%. Yeah. And now Arthas is a badass, by the way.
Yeah, he's great now. Yeah, I really like him now.
You know, for a long time, he was like bottom barrel.
Highest win percentage right now, by the way, Lost Vikings at 54.8.
What? That's because there's like four people who play Lost Vikings.
I know. The popularity. It has a popularity rating of 5.1%. And then those, you know, that whatever that percentage is, they're killing it. And then Kael'thas at number two with a 97% popularity rating.
Wow, Kael'thas is back.
Yeah,
holy
big
crap.
Time. Yeah, like people are smelling Nerf again. We'll see. Anyway.
He's been changed so damn much, dude. Like every single patch is something Kael'thas related.
What a complicated video game, I'm telling you. Like imagine having to balance this thing. Oof.
In the last patch notes, they made that joke about nerfing him and saying, but we're sure he'll find a way to be OP again somehow. So.
Yeah. Don't worry, guys. He'll never go anywhere.
It'll all work out. All right. Diablo. I got to say this about Diablo. There's no actual news from the Diablo side of things other than Gamescom coming up. Seems like end of June. Seems like a place that you might finally hear something about either a Diablo expansion, Diablo 3 expansion, or a Diablo 4 announcement or something else in the Diablo space. After years of new job openings and mysterious staff being added to things they won't talk about, and also going so long without any sort of formal announcements of any kind while Overwatch and Heroes and other things took center stage, it feels like the right time to me. So I just wanted to pass it around and see what people thought. Patrick, do you think Diablo gets its chance at Gamescom like Legion did last year at Gamescom? Is this Diablo's turn at the stage?
I think it's very possible. I wouldn't bet my life on it, but when did Reaper of Souls came out? Was it 2014?
Early 2014, I think, wasn't it? Something like that.
Might have been, yeah. So it's a couple of years. I think we're due for is it 2014? I want to make sure, sorry.
I think that's right, but I could be smoking the crack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a, it feels like it's been with us forever because it changed.
2014.
It so okay, all right.
2014, but yeah, so it came out in 2014. It's been a couple of years. They don't have to, but if they announce something now, it could be, you know, a year and a half before it comes out, maybe more. So I think it's definitely a possibility. I think they're working on something, and the latest patches in Diablo are not substantial enough to be what the full team is working on. So they're certainly working on either another expansion or a full game. I think if it was another expansion, we would have heard about it somehow by now. It's still possible, but so let's put it like that. By BlizzCon, either Gamescom or BlizzCon, we're going to have an expansion or a full sequel. Yeah. If we haven't heard anything by BlizzCon, they are not doing another expansion, and they're going straight to Diablo 4.
Okay, but you do think that it's not the sign of like, well, we're going to let this thing sit for another 12 years and do other things, right?
No, I don't think so. The only reason, so people have to understand the impact that World of Warcraft had on that company. It was for about, you know, 5 or 6 years, World of Warcraft was so big that 90% of their energy was dedicated to scaling the company to a level that could support the hugeness of World of Warcraft. So I think the reason we didn't see anything for so long at that point was that a lot of it was putting everything else on hold to make sure that the company doesn't dissolve under the weight of WoW. So, and Diablo 3 when it came out, it sold 12 million copies on PC in the first week. I believe that's the number.
That sounds right.
That is an insane, insane number. Mm-hmm. It's you know, crazy for a PC only title to be make it. Basically, it was a huge amount of money, and I would be incredibly surprised if they didn't follow up with another title in a very timely manner. You know, as I was saying, I think we're going to see something announced this year or the next year at most, and then a release within a year to 18 months. So I really think it's coming.
I hope so. I hope it's Gamescom. I really want more. I mean, I think that game, what they've turned that into is a really pretty special game. The fact that it's got the legs that it has, that these seasons keep refreshing it for people, making you feel like you want to get back in and go crazy. It's really great.
So, sorry, just to add to this, I think the way they've gone with the latest patches indicates that it's going to be another expansion rather than another, another title rather than another expansion. Because if you look at the way the game is working now, you know, you have up to Torment 10 and you have the Greater Rifts. It seems to be pulling as much as possible on the itemization levels. And we have another link afterwards. I don't know if you've seen it, but there are so many crazy things happening in the game. Yeah. I don't know that you don't need to, at some point, start from a fresh beginning.
Sure.
And an expansion can do that for sure, but there's so much baggage with the game now already. I think they've pushed it so much that they're thinking we're going to have a new game that starts from the zero for the next one, so we can go all out and go crazy with the
I think you're right. It's also they can't they're going to take a lot of what they learned from what they've done with 3 and apply that to 4 probably, but it still feels like to do that even properly, you got to start from square one at some point, or at least, you know, a full new game and not just an expansion. What do you think, Dills? I know you've been playing a lot lately. Where do you think their heads are at?
I'm on board. I think it's time to just, I think it's honestly time to just like let it chill as it is and just make the next version. The game is really good right now, and I'm struggling to find what a new patch would really add to my experience.
Yeah.
And I really think that, like, Diablo, there's never going to be them not doing Diablo anymore, I think, because it is just such a moneymaker, and it's such a good version of that type of game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give us, like, a release date or something fairly soon and say we're working on it, and they'll make a bajillion more. When 4 comes out,
it'd be freaking huge.
But I think right now the game is just really good. Like, a lot of the changes that were made last expansion and every single season are all solid, and they don't need to do too much else.
Yeah.
I'm still excited every time a new season starts. So,
well, team lead Josh Mascara kind of disappeared a little bit from almost everything except the occasionally he'd pop up on Twitter, but pretty rarely saying much of anything. My belief is that he has been busy running the next iteration of Diablo, and we may hear at Gamescom. So watch for that. All right.
Yeah.
Launch happened this week. A big video game
launch.
Wait.
You have to talk about thing for Diablo.
Okay, we totally do. So here's the problem. I mean, I guess I could play it and then edit it later since our clean tag on iTunes.
Oh, you're right. It's not. Yeah.
I wish that guy wasn't such an F-bomber, but I still need to share what you showed me. So I hadn't known about this, and you sent the link out. So it's basically this guy showing his kind of casual Diablo playing friend what his end game looks like. And even I, who have taken a couple of mages all the way, not mages, wizards, didn't know what the hell he was doing. Like, he was doing crazy things that was like, what is going on? Like, it was just a throbbing fireball at some point and killing everything at Torment 10 without it even, you know, working at it. I still not entirely sure what combination of things he was doing, but yeah, if you haven't looked to see what a true end game player is doing in Diablo 3, you owe it to yourself to see this video. It is insane.
It's just so ridiculous. I think he has the mages. How's it called? Explosive blast, explosion, explode something.
Yeah.
And that thing is an explosion that originates from your mage and blasts like everything in a, I don't know, 5 meters radius around you. And it normally has a cooldown of 8 seconds, I think. And through some combination of buffs and gear and set bonuses and something, it goes on constantly. Once he winds up, it goes on constantly. So he's just moving around and exploding everything. And the screen is this, you're right, throbbing piece of yellow light. And it's just so crazy. Like, it's not the same game. And the reaction of his friend to seeing this is priceless. So seek out the video when a casual is exposed to Endgame Diablo. Just look it up. It's hilarious.
It really is funny. That guy, you could also sense from the video that his friend was about to get real deep. Like, he was about to go, oh, there's a lot. I have a lot more to do.
Yeah, exactly.
In this game. In fact, yesterday I finally got, after years of trying to get it, and it would never drop for me on my main character. My main character got the helm to drop that I've been waiting for years. I couldn't believe it. I about pooped my pants the other night. So I was all very excited. All right, Overwatch. It happened. Came out. It's a thing. It's a deal. Here's, I got a little music here just to have some fun with here. Has a little Overture music. Here you go. Oh, listen, you guys. It's like, here, I'll skip ahead. Oh, yeah, see? Anyway, that'll get you in the mood. It happened on Tuesday, technically Monday. The original release date was Tuesday, but it came out Monday afternoon, which was weird. I guess it was for a simultaneous international launch. And so, Patrick, you're on the other part of the world. I was starting to play at 5 p.m. my time, 6 p.m. Dills. What were you doing? Like, did you have to stay up? Like, what happened there?
Me?
Yeah.
It was like 8 in the morning here. I played a little bit, but I had like two shows to record. Right after the launch. So I played a little bit, but since then I've sort of made up for it. I'm level 23, I think, 24. Mm. And I played a lot, and it's so much fun. I'm getting to play with lots of people that couldn't play before. So anytime I'm logging in now, there are people, friends to play with. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different experience from what was happening in the beta. And I still very much enjoy playing alone, but playing with friends is also a different kind of fun. They've mentioned that the ranked play is coming back in June at some point, probably mid to end June. So that's going to be good. I'm still having fun with the quick play for now. And I think the biggest thing out of this for me is seeing the entire world falling in love with this game. I mean, there are people who don't like it, and there are haters, and you know, that's fine. But
outliers.
So many people are enjoying the game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we had this little tiny bird. It was a tiny chick, and you were nurturing it. You're like, yes, you're going to be great, and you're going to be awesome. You're going to do great in the world. And now it's spreading its wings, and it's sort of not ours anymore, but everyone's loving it. And it's really crazy to see all the people discovering all the things we went through in the beta. Like, at first there was the Bastion is OP thing, and then there are people getting crazy over their plays of the game and going like, oh my god, I killed 3 people, and like enjoying the positive reinforcement that this game is so attached to, and seeing that it works, that it makes everyone happy about playing the game, and the fun that people are having. So it's been a blast for me. It's like your kid graduating college or something, you know. It's right. Great. I love it.
The thing you always knew was great about your kid, now the rest of the world can see.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. Dills, you've been enjoying it, I know.
Yep. Yeah, I've been playing a lot. I'm finally starting to get the hang of some characters that I had struggled with previously. Mm-hmm. So that's been exciting too. It's cool that a game that I played as much as I played Overwatch, with a very limited character pool, really, if you think about it, in 21 heroes, I'm still finding new things to do and new things to learn. Yeah. And the whole esports scene now seems to be about ready to go. And there, you know, the big tournament going on right now, I think, actually, has been really fun to watch. I've been watching it kind of off and on all day. And yeah, the game is fantastic.
Anybody
out there, though, like, I encourage you, like we were talking about off air before the show, try not to look at this game the way you look at other games, where I play this hero. I play this hero. This is my main. This mm-hmm. game doesn't really work the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's like a new thing for a lot of players. So
sure.
Really just try to learn as many heroes as you can. It's gonna benefit you in the long run.
Think of those heroes as weapons. It's like 21 or 22, whatever it is, weapons. And they're not really, mm-hmm. I mean, they're characters and they're great and they have all kinds of cool things they do each. But this game is so unique in the sense that they don't feel like individual characters who do roughly the same thing. They all feel like separate weapons in your hands, and learning as many of those weapons as possible is what will make you a great player in it. So I totally agree with that. Or at the least, like you said before the show, and I totally agree with this, pick one from the four main kind of classes, tank, support, damage, and the other one, builder, and you know, get one in each batch that you feel real strong with, and then start branching out.
Sure. And actually getting good at one hero is going to translate to getting good at another, because you're going to understand what that hero does. Yep. So when you're against that hero, you're going to understand it better.
Yeah, I could not get my head around Mercy at first in the beta. It just would never click with me, or I never felt like I was any good with her, or I felt like I was actually hurting the team. And the last 4 days have been a lot of Mercy play, and I've been doing really well with Mercy, like clutch moments and important reses and really important heals and right at the right moment and flying to the right guy at the right minute. Like, once you get your head around a new thing like that, you're like, oh my gosh, it's like a whole new game now. Like, I'm just playing a new, and this is a new game this week. It's still Overwatch, but this is a new game. And then you get your head around her and you realize, wow, I could be better at Symmetra probably. There's some similarities there. Let me try to do that. Has anybody got one character? I have one character I've yet to play once, beta or now or ever. Does anyone else?
Yeah. No, I've played all of them.
I should have played all of them, but I've never once played Torbjorn. Not once.
Really?
Not because
I specialize at Torbjorn, man.
You're good with him. I don't have anything against him. I feel like I will play him, but I don't know. He's like a Netflix series. I know it's never going to leave, so I just never go and try it. Like, I'll binge on him sometime.
Torbjorn
later.
Is to not baby your turret. The people baby the turret too much. They think that the turret is the character. And really, you what Torbjorn does is allows you to be in two places at once.
Yeah.
You put a turret down and then you go other places and do other things for your team. It's really good. And not to mention the fact that you're providing shields for your team is incredibly valuable. So, people playing Torbjorn, don't think that you're just a turret, man. You are much more.
Yeah. You're so much more.
In defense, maybe a little bit more. You're going to be standing there repairing it. But if people figure it out and start shooting at it, it's probably going to explode anyway.
Yeah.
So just drop a new one. Yeah, you drop a new one. It's fine.
Plus, your ultimate is the bane of my life, Torbjorn players. Yeah.
The other thing, too, I think a lot of people think you have to make your turret level 2. You can drop a rank 1 turret and run around and do stuff. It's fine. I mean,
it's
better when it's rank 2, but if you're in a firefight, don't drop it and stand there hammering it while you die. Like, just drop it, run around and shoot people, because your turret's still going to be doing stuff. Yeah. You know?
I might have died, but at least I whacked at my turret a couple of times.
That's a lot of times you can't even hit it enough times to get it to rank 2. You get but I am always, if I'm running from somebody or someone's chasing me or something, I'll drop a turret, keep running. My turret's damaging them, and I can now shoot at them too. And I'll win 1v1s quite often with Torbjorn.
Yeah.
He's not really known as like a 1v1 fighter either, but that's because people are playing him wrong, I think.
Yeah, and when I see somebody do really well, like as an offensive attacking Torbjorn is something to witness, man. There's like some that and Bastion. When those guys do that, when they do it well, it makes you rethink how you play. You're just like, well, wait a minute, to counter that. That seems counterintuitive somehow. But that's what this game does, is it kind of it breaks all your expectations in a lot of ways, the way you're used to playing team-based shooters and competitive games like this, and it is so refreshing. I've not had this much fun. I've said it before, I'll say it again, not since I was playing Quake Capture the Flag back in like 96 have I had this kind of fun with a video game, and that's no small feat. I didn't think I'd ever feel that way again about a competitive game, but there it is.
I think a lot of people are echoing your sentiment about just having fun, you know. It's just it's pure enjoyable moments when you're playing it. And to come back to what you were saying about trying different roles, it's very true that there are a lot of heroes. Maybe you're not going to love all of them, but there are a lot of heroes you think you're not going to like, but actually when you play them, you're going to have a really good time. Like if you think healing is not for you, or you know, support is not for you in general, or tanking is not for you, I think most people who have tried a couple of the heroes in those roles have found out that it's really actually super fun to play. Kind of in the same way that almost any class in World of Warcraft has elements of things that are going to appeal to a lot of different players. I don't think many people have, you know, many classes that they just don't like. Sure, you're going to play one class, but often if you reroll a character, you're going to find a piece of a nugget of enjoyment, of gameplay joy in there that is going to motivate you to play that class as well. In Overwatch, it's a lot more instantaneous satisfaction. So it's a lot easier to go through, but you're going to find some heroes in the roles that you thought you wouldn't be having fun fulfilling that are going to be enjoyable.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's weird how I went into that game thinking, oh, you'll play like you always play. You're going to be damage and you're going to be at a distance. And when I started, that's what I would try and mess with. And then when I got the courage up to try Roadhog, who's now one of my favorite characters of all time, freaking love him.
Right.
Hank, my hook accuracy is getting up there, but man, my son is killing me. He's got like 80% every game. He's killing me. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah, Nick is just murdering with him. So good with that hook. But so there's that. Then I went, well, all right, maybe I'll break down and play Winston. Oh my gosh, Winston's so much freaking fun. And then I started doing some support characters. So I start playing things I don't normally care about at all in video games, and I'm so glad other people do. But in here, when someone doesn't pick a healer, I get excited and go, all right, let's go. Let's go, Lucio. Let's go, Mercy. Let's do this. Like, it feels great to do those roles, and I didn't expect that at all coming into this game. So, yeah, don't be afraid to branch into things. Even me with the turret dude, I need to just freaking do him and do it. Do Torbjorn is my new t-shirt I'm going to make. And, yeah, it's great. The only real issues I know of is they had some lag, a little disconnectivity the first day. Sometimes people get randomly kicked from games. It wasn't anything crazy. Considering how many people are on in all regions, I can't believe it went this smoothly. But the only big issue, and they resolved it relatively quickly, was Xbox One players had matchmaking problems. That got fixed. PS4 players, pretty much no problems or issues that I know of. And it's a pretty successful launch. I don't know how else you could, it's hard to classify it as much else. Like, it wasn't plagued with disconnects or server outages or any of that stuff. And we've been playing it for almost a week now, solid. And there are tons of people in there. You're rarely skirmishing. Like, it's just a piece of work, man. That thing. Damn that game. So much fun. Anyway, go play together, too. Oh, I wanted to make a recommendation. Watcher.gg. So I didn't even know this existed. There's a few sites now, apparently. This is the one that Bo pointed to me on Twitter. But it's like Hotslogs in a way, except it taps into the Blizzard API for Overwatch and lets you see where you're at. And what's crazy is a couple of people like him, he found out he was 30th in the world at playing, it was either Soldier 76 or McCree, I can't remember.
It was his kill-death assist ratio, which is...
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
You count the number of kills you do and the number of assists, and then you divide it by the number of deaths.
Yeah.
So
and this Spencer HD guy we play with all the time, he found out that he was like number 20 accuracy on sniper kills or something with Widowmaker. Like, there's a whole new level of this game if you start looking at that list and going, oh, I bet I could get up on that one. Like, there's talk about your global leaderboards. It's super cool and insane. So go check it out at watcher.gg.
I'm just happy I have a positive win rate.
Yeah,
ratio. That's all I care about. Just positive win rate.
Yeah, that's all I want. That's all I want, really. Either, and it also reminds you, like, oh yeah, all the stuff I did in the beta, and that's not on here. You know, like boy, look at the run I had with so and so. Oh no, that's not being counted. Shit, I feel like MMR is in effect now, and maybe this is a bad thing, but the pressure's on for me. Like, I'm feeling pressure to like improve my stuff. Anyway,
I'll just have fun. You know, we gave a lot of advice. The game's been out for a week. Just go in and have fun. It's quick match. No one cares. You know, ranked is going to get in fairly soon, but for now, just play the way you like. I think that's, you know, the game is very new, very focused on that kind of thing. So if you're don't force yourself yet. There will be time for tryhards to tell you how you're playing wrong in, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and already they're doing it. But for now, don't worry about them too much.
All right. Well, let's go to Numbani and celebrate. Here you go. Right here. Come on, kick it up here. Oh, this isn't the right music, is it?
There we go.
All right, good enough.
Yeah,
I got a quick. Oh, and that soundtrack's up on Apple Music and Spotify and other stuff, and you can buy it, I think. And you can also, if you bought the collector's edition, of course, you got it that way. Amazing music, my gosh, so good. The whole thing's amazing. Quick email, and then we'll get out of here. We got one from Paula who asks, and this is a good appropriate question to the Overwatch launch. So you've all been playing Overwatch all week. Who's getting the banhammer first? Patrick, you have a theory. Or somebody earlier was saying something about McCree. Do we think McCree is the first to get attention?
There's been a lot of discussion, and I think a lot of people are throwing names out because they're frustrated more than more than anything else. But McCree definitely sounds like the one that. So the problem with McCree is that he has, if you're really good at him, he's good at everything.
Yeah.
They nerfed his long range shots a little bit during the beta for good reason, because he didn't have any damage fall off and he's so precise. He is hit scan, which means his bullets don't have travel time. Once he pushes the button, that hits. So if he's good at aiming, he's going to shoot you no matter what happens. And he also has this flashbang that means he's invincible at close range. He stops you and he fans the hammer and you're dead. And if you're not dead yet, he rolls and fans the hammer again, and then you're really dead. Mm-hmm. And so basically he's really good at every position in damage dealing in the game. So that's a little bit of a concern. At the same time, it's really early still. We've seen moments in the meta, in the competitive meta during the beta, where we thought that some things were never going to move, and that was the way it was. I mean, Tracer at some point was everywhere, and she could never die because of the mobility. But then people started playing McCree, and that was a perfect counter to Tracer, because flashbang, she's stunned, she's dead. So it's a little bit early. I think we need to wait and see how things shake out for another few weeks at least. But the one that I think is being looked at the most is probably McCree. That would be my suspicion. I think the team, the Overwatch team has their eye on him and on High Noon, and they're keeping a close eye on that. So other than that, I don't think too much.
Well, I know May's a giant pain in my ass, but that may just be me.
So the problem with May is with the mechanic of slowing down and freezing, right? It's like stuns in Heroes. It's a frustrating mechanic when you're being the victim of it. I don't think she is overpowered in the sense that she gives wins to her team, right? She doesn't have a crazy win-loss ratio.
In an average game, you're right. Yeah, you're totally
It's just
right.
frustrating when you play against her when it happens.
Sure. Yeah. I have the perfect counter
She's
to that.
She's got her counters, for sure.
Yeah, my favorite counter to her is a simple one and very self-preservation-y and has everything to do with me. It's all about me and not about her. And that's when I play Junkrat, because the best thing to do in the world is when she's going, whoosh, and I'm going, getting all cold, I throw out a concussion grenade and then blow it up as it just barely leaves my hand. I go flying way back without any damage and get completely out of any freezing business she's got. She gets hurt and thrown into some big mess on the other side. It's a great way to get out of there. Yeah. So
every hero at this point has a pretty decent counter, I think. So I'm not too concerned yet with anybody being imbalanced. I know a lot of people think that Bastion is OP, but just, get good, noobs. Yeah. I'm complaining.
I'm surprised. The Bastion and Torbjorn hate has not been nearly as big as it was during the open beta. I think a lot of people played during the open beta, learned how to counter them a little bit for the first week, and then carried over that knowledge in the launch. It's been very acceptable.
Yeah, they haven't been a problem at all for me. Partly, it's just like, well, Dill's said it, and obviously we're joking around. You're not noobs, but he's right. Like, there is a way to counter those guys. And once you learn that or figure it out per character, it's like, oh, well, then they're really not that big a deal. I mean, a good Bastion player is still a thing to be reckoned with. You still want to play well against him, but it's not like
he's... You get a lot of kills.
Sure.
Yeah, but once you know where it is, you can seek it out and kill it, and it's no problem. The mobility is the problem for Bastion, right? And, I love when there's Bastions on the other team, because I like playing Genji, so... Mm-hmm. Like, bring on all the Bastions, man. Let's do this.
Yeah, Bastioning it up. And you reflect all their damage back to those guys. It's insane. Yeah. When I go... Yeah,
you run up to them, and as soon as they turn to shoot at you, you just reflect all their bullets back at them.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's not a problem.
You kill them. And my favorite thing in the world is to hook them while they're in siege mode with Roadhog and pull them to me, it pulls them out of siege, which makes them far less effective. All they can do is run and gun with their pea shooter, and one shotgun blast, and he's dead. Like, it's just an amazing feeling. So, hey, keep it up, Bastion. It's not a problem. Just keep playing these games. Keep being in there.
You did see some in the competitive play, though, but they were always protected by a Reinhardt.
Oh, interesting.
So there was actually a little combo that they were setting up quite often, which was a Reinhardt shield protecting the Bastion with a Mercy giving the damage boost.
Yeah.
And basically just protecting an area.
Oh, my goodness.
So they weren't really concerned about necessarily getting a bunch of kills with Bastion, but it was just, it's kind of like zoning, right? So they're keeping you off of a certain spot. Because you can't run in there because that's just a death trap, right? So it forces them to then start to kind of come around and do flanking stuff. But then they have like Widowmakers protecting the flank or McCree's protecting the flank. And so you know, there's basically nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a giant bug in my house. Oh, no.
That's not good. Don't let it eat you.
Texas, man.
Also, when they, I just tell you about
it. I just heard it and I looked. It's like, oh, God, that's a big one. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, they make them as big as puppies down there. You got to be careful.
I'm going to have to get like, I'm going to put like a sweatshirt on or something and then like a mask and go after this thing.
It's freaking me out just thinking
about it. If we don't hear from you on Twitter within like the next hour after the show is done, we'll send someone.
No kidding.
Yeah, send an exterminator.
It's funny though, you say the way the meta's shaping up with Reinhardt being in front of him, it's basically just giving him back his old shield he used to have, which a lot of people don't remember if you didn't play pre-open beta, but he used to have one of those for his own.
He had a shield in front, and then he couldn't turn very far.
Yeah, he had a limited range.
Now he could turn everywhere, but no shield.
I think he had a 90-degree radius or something. And
Something like that, which I think
is better, though, in his current form. I think he's way better in his current form. Like, being able to look any direction is actually really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
If someone gets on you, you used to be... Also, he actually took longer to switch between, you know, stances.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can switch really quickly, but it used to be someone got on you and was behind you, and that was it. There's nothing you could do.
He feels really good, and I'm glad he's in the game, and I don't want them to change him too much because I think he's super unique, and in the right hands, you can do amazing things with him. That's the other thing about the game. Don't let any of this stuff we're telling you fool you. Like, you think, you know, well, these characters are flank characters, or these guys are zoning characters, or whatever their roles are. That's all true, but once in a while, a player will come along and do something insane with a character he shouldn't be able to do. Like, someone will take a Reinhardt and make him the most offensive, backline destroying nightmare mobile weirdness you've ever seen, and it's supposedly not supposed to happen with that character, but there it is.
That's one of the things I love doing with Reinhardt. Your job should be to protect your team for sure, and to not
dash
in and you know, be crazy because you're just gonna die, and you know, but sometimes there's an opportunity, there's an opening. And, you know, you throw your fire axe and then you charge and you swing your axe around like a madman and they're all clamped up and you kill everyone. And then you have your ultimate that puts them to the ground. You throw another fire axe and you charge again. It is such a you feel like, you know, I often describe the joy of this game as the best superhero simulator that there is in anywhere, and you feel like the fantasy of that character sometimes when things go well. And when you do this with Reinhardt, you do feel like the German personified tank. You're like walking around in the heavy footsteps and the axe swinging around, and you're exactly like he says, unstoppable. It's amazing.
The game is gameplay personified, and if you haven't picked it up yet, you're a dope. Go get it. It's great. All right, that's gonna do it for the show. Thank you everybody for being here. Always a pleasure. Let's rip around the table and talk about where people can be found during the coming week. Patrick, what's going on as you get closer to heading back to Finland? Where can people find you?
Well, I guess the big news this week was the launch of the Patreon for Overwatchers. So if you're into the game, well, first of all, if you think you're getting into Overwatch and you like the game and you want to hear Garrett and Chris Chanmanvi and myself talk about Overwatch like for hours on end, Overwatchers is the show you want to go listen to. It's at amove.tv. It's Garrett Weinsroll's website. And we had a number of beginners and guides shows, episodes back during the beta. It was for episode 7 to 11. If you're getting into the game, you want to learn about the different types of roles and the different things. There are a number of tips and tricks you can hear in those episodes. But more generally, we're doing the show every 2 weeks. And as I mentioned, the Patreon has launched. So if you want to support us, you can do that too. But amove.tv/overwatchers is where you want to go.
Expect a bunch of E3 coverage when Patrick gets home. Between he and I, we're going to do a bunch of E3 stuff like last year. People liked it. So we'll do a bunch more of that, kind of live video commentary
looking
stuff.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. Dills, where can people find you this week?
So right now, I would suggest people check out the stream, twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF, and the YouTube channel, youtube.com/WillyDillsSF. Actually, just while we were recording, I was rendering a video just finished, so that'll be going up tonight.
Nice.
And it is a deck tech, which is part of... It'll be the next goal on my personal Patreon is to do weekly deck techs. Mm. So if people want those, this is kind of an example of what those will kind of look like. But rather than do like a competitive deck, this one's about my milkshake deck, which is the priest deck that steals all of your cards and then beats you with them. So you can check that out. It's going up tonight.
Is it called that because it brings? Is it because it brings all the boys to the yard? Is that the naming?
No. It's because I drink your milkshake.
Oh.
I drink
it. Oh, that's even better. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your web address.
Give them no, you're good. That's actually all explained in there as well. But yeah, it's basically this will be the general format of those, which will be me explaining the cards, why they're in there, and all that kind of stuff, and then some actual gameplay footage of, you know, either one game, which is what I'm going to do here, but in certain decks where they're going to be more competitive, mm-hmm. I'll probably be doing, rather than one game, doing more like examples of scenarios that may come up and how to kind of handle those. So things like the opening mulligan, things like, you know, late game turns, if those are really important, big combos you can pull off, that kind of stuff. So that's not going to be a weekly thing until we get about $43 more, but that's not that far away, man. I think we're, you know,
it seems valuable.
That's a very
too.
Doable amount. Yeah.
It seems like a valuable resource if you're into Hearthstone, folks. So mm-hmm. help them out. What else is going on? There's still some Warcraft movie tickets available for anyone in the local area. Not many, but if you want to get in on that, that's happening on the 11th. It's a Saturday. Tom Merritt, myself, Brian Ibbett, a bunch of others will be there. So you want to come and watch the movie
I'm
with us.
So jealous.
I wish everybody was here. It'd be great. But you know, whatever. I'll take what I can get. I'll take a Merritt if that's all I can get. But we're going to have a good time. It's going to be great, giving out some prizes and some stuff. So check that out at frogpants.com/Warcraft. I think that's going to do it for us. Theinstance.net is our webpage. All links lead there. Leave us reviews on iTunes and other services because that makes a huge difference. You don't even realize how much of a difference it makes. So go do that, please. A big thanks to alphageekradio.com for simulcasting tonight's audio broadcast. And find us on Twitter, @InstanceShow, @ScottJohnson, @_T for Terpster, who may never come back again because he's just too popular now with all this freaking web thing. Willie Deals, of course, and not Patrick. More great shows like this at frogpants.com. Go find out if you think they're great, too, or if I'm just full of crap. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Dills. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
I don't know why I made a fart noise. That wasn't nice.
Demon Hunter defies duties due to developing different distraction. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Blizzard has long been known for cross-pollinating characters among its different game properties. One only has to look at a typical Heroes of the Storm match to see ample proof of that. But a misconfigured forum server for the Overwatch beta recently revealed that this multi-game mobility has been taken to a whole new level. The bug exposed hundreds of message threads between developers and some rather unexpected internal playtesters, Blizzard characters such as Deckard Cain, Jim Raynor, and Illidan Stormrage. The threads are a fascinating read. Cain wanted more character backstory in the game, arguing that players would stay a while and listen to such details. Raynor mostly complained that he should sue McCree for badly impersonating him. But it was Stormrage who dominated the boards with dozens upon dozens of threads. In one, he argued about the music selection for Lucio, complaining that, quote, "the incessant pounding beat makes my horns hurt." Another long thread was dedicated to him pushing for a green ice option for Mei.
While developers humored his incessant comments, it's clear that they were becoming concerned that he's more obsessed with Overwatch than with killing demons. When he demanded a free copy of the game to play post-launch, they reminded him that Legion was launching soon and he'd better refocus on his own game. This provoked a tirade from Stormrage, who thundered that when it came to going back to Warcraft, he was not prepared. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
What the heck, man? This game is stupid!
This is brutal.
Bastion's damage is a stinking OP! You can't do anything about it! There's no counter!
Brutal used to be a respected member of Blizzard Society until he played the Overwatch beta.
It's just stick or die! You turn the corner, boom, dead! Turn the corner, Gatling gun dead! Turn the corner, hey look, he's a tank! Can't kill him! What the heck, man?
Brutal has been diagnosed with stage 3 Bastionitis.
And on top of that, it's bad enough when one person plays Bastion. But for the love of God, there's three of them! Not one, not two, three! Half of their stinking team is this stupid character that you can't do anything about!
Dying to Bastion is an epidemic facing millions of Overwatch players every day, and no one is immune to the salt and rage that can be induced by seeing a play of the game with Bastion in his fucking turret form.
It's just there! You turn a corner and you're done! You turn a corner, 17 million bullets are then lodged into your skull!
The salt levels brought on by acute Bastionitis can be dangerous to one's mental and physical health. Chances are, someone you know has been hurt by this bird-loving Omnic, but help is available, and there are a variety of methods to protect yourself against Bastion. The best defense is a good offense. As Genji, you can deflect Bastion's fire. As Tracer, you can use your abilities to bypass frontal defenses, then use your gunfire to force Bastion to move. As Widowmaker or Hanzo, snipe Bastion from afar. Have a teammate distract Bastion to give you an opening to do so. A perfect distraction can be Reinhardt, who can draw Bastion's fire and stay protected with his shield while the rest of the team dismantles Bastion. And as Mei, you can create ice walls that block Bastion's fire and allow your team to press forward safely to the next objective. These are just some of the ways that you too can avoid the rage brought on by Bastionitis. To learn more about how you can fight Bastionitis, dial 1-800-F-Bastion.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.